Bishop Schnazy of the Missouri Conference has really been instrumental in blessing many congregations with the work he has done called the Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations. I've heard him speak in person on a couple of occasions, and each time I hear him speak, I am blessed to see God's hand at work as he has blessed this man to a place of leadership in this flock we call the United Methodist Church. I don't think the bishop has done anything himself, and will quickly tell you that insisting that the fruits of his efforts come from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This is what makes the man so endearing, not a stuffy shirt with a high-priced attitude, but a man that you could come home to and kick off the shoes and have a glass of iced tea, and you'd think you've known him all your life. But enough about the bishop and more about what God's doing and where we need to go, what we have been blessed to encounter. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about five fruitful practices. They are radical hospitality, passionate worship, and intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. Bishop Schnazy says that these five practices are the common fruits of churches that are vibrant, fruitful, and growing. As we study and talk about these practices, these attitudes toward God, toward ourselves and those in our community, we need to be mindful that we are not doing this to be stamped out of a mold like a cookie cutter, or to be just like some other church in some other state or some other place. We are here planted where God has a need for us, uniquely created, individually and collectively, and we must always keep this in mind as we move through these practices. This is a conversation about what God is doing and where God is leading us, not in a mirror image of some other congregation, but as a mirror image of God's unbridled, spirit-led, agape love that's unstoppable and irresistible. Bishop Schnazy says that churches where these five practices are found are fruitful and vibrant and growing, and hospitality is welcoming and receiving as others are presented to us. But what does that mean to be vibrant? One synonym for vibrant is the word active. When I think of the word active, it means moving, not passive or stationary. When we think about these practices, we need to think in terms of being vibrant to the point that we are active and moving and not passive and complacent. Another synonym is electrifying. The word conjures up ideas of spirited movement, a movement with energy and excitement. In my engineering life, we always were charged with process improvement, and wherever we found something that no one was looking at, we found a place where improvement could be made. When we think about hospitality, we will need to be active in it, not passive. And what this means is that hospitality does not happen by itself. You have to be intentional and work at it constantly, and not by a few people, but by everyone here. We all have a place in the role of hospitality. We need to pay a special attention to hospitality. Actively, we cannot just passively look upon it, assuming that people will feel welcome if we just say, "Hello, welcome to our friendly church." While being welcoming is a very nice thing to do, sticking a bulletin in someone's hand saying welcome is only the beginning of hospitality. This hospitality that you're offering your very best in the name of Jesus Christ. Think for a moment about how you came to be part of this church. Were you invited to church, and did the person or persons who invited you, did they purposely show you around and introduce you to other people? If you were fortunate enough to be invited and welcome, when was the last time you made that same expression of Christ welcoming agape love to someone you know who does not have a church home? Notice it was not the inviting person's love, but Christ's love reflected through them that invited. And it has to be Christ's love that they see in you when you make that invitation. What if you were one of the ones that grew up in the church? Your parents brought you here, and you've always been part of this community. As you look around, you'll see that there really isn't many young people as a percentage of our total number. What that says is the way that which many of us came to church by being brought here by our parents doesn't work anymore. It's not the primary effective way to bring people into relationship with Jesus. So our emphasis as a hospitality-centered church has to be to connect with younger people, the youth, the children. A blinding flash of the obvious is they're not here. But the question soon becomes, so if they're not here, where are they? In some homes, the answer becomes that they spend some time with mom and then some time with dad. Some young people can be found wherever there's a ball game to be played. Others can be found in the school or at the county fair or many, many other places. Even jobs. A lot of young people around here have jobs on the weekends. Wherever they are, these are opportunities for hospitality, to go beyond meeting people at the church house door and reaching out into our community where we serve. I read an example where a church rented some inflatables and offered a community fun day. They didn't charge admission, but they gave the day in agape love, offering an attractive way to offer kids Christ. And while 100 or so attended, 5 children made the commitment to regular attendance in Sunday school and worship services. 5 may not seem like many, but it helps to emphasize that we are to plant the seed. God will make the harvest. We can take Christ to the kids or find ways to bring the kids to Christ and do so in their familiar context, not ours. Let me say that again. They need to find Christ in their context, not ours. The world is familiar to them and to what they know. Our church life, quite honestly, is foreign, unfamiliar, and for some of them, even scary. John Wesley went into the coal mines, the factories, and into the streets to preach the gospel message of good news. And we must do the same in our own way to this time and to this culture, which is a different culture than even than what I was brought up around. I think it's pretty fair to say most of us have been somewhere where we have visited and we really have the impression we were outsiders. It's not the most pleasant feeling, and we usually remedy it by excusing ourselves and retreating to somewhere more comfortable. For some of the people, that retreat might be to a place of isolation and loneliness. And making such a retreat possible is like making lamb stew for wolves. The devil loves it when we give him one freely. In a battle plan against darkness and evil, we know loneliness and isolation are unhealthy for the human soul. And we know it's not a comfortable place. Shouldn't it be in our hearts to do everything possible to offer the more acceptable, more loving alternative? How hard is it for us to give away something that we love? When you think about it in sincerity, you should conclude it's nearly impossible. As a young child, I had a toy truck, and I really enjoyed it very much. It was a favorite of mine. It had a red cab and sturdy wheels, and a large bed with working gates. I could use it to haul toy soldiers, or I could use it for hauling Legos, or even farm animals. I sometimes used it for hauling my sister's Barbie dollhouse furniture. The truck was a favorite for sure. I had pants with knees worn out to prove that it had racked up thousands of miles. And then one time my aunt came over in the afternoon. She was gathering donations for a children's charity she was involved with and decided I needed to give a toy. I offered many of my other toys, but somehow this favorite truck was a key candidate for the offering. I really didn't want to part with it. I loved that truck. And it was such a big part of my life when I was 5 years old. But you know, after some more discussion about needy boys in other places and the power of really making a sacrifice that was placed on my heart, it was concluded that that favorite truck would be the offering given that day. It was for a good reason, for a good cause. Some other little boy would be able to enjoy it as much as I did. Even as sacrificial as you think that small gift was, it's only the beginning of knowing that's really how it is with God's love for you. God is awesome, crazy in love with you. If thinking thoughts is one of the things God does, as we try to understand God in a human way, we can presume that God has thought, how do I get my creation to know me? I know. I'll give them the one gift I love as much as I love them. Surely that'll get their attention. I'll give my only Son, the Christ, to come to earth and offer them the gift of salvation. God didn't have to offer us reconciliation, and He doesn't have to offer Himself through Christ Jesus. But from and through God's love and grace, we do receive His love. And it's through the hospitality of doing not what we deserve, but what's unexpected and given out of the heart, that we really experience the truth of being a disciple of Jesus the Christ. God gives us the perfect model. Our struggles and striving in this world should involve actions that are representative of that crazy kind of love. Hospitality is like that. It's not doing what it's expected. It's what's doing expected plus the opportunity to give in agape love, even when yet above love, even yet above that is what's expected. There were sacrifices required in Levitical laws for the people of Israel to redeem themselves from sin and from their transgressions before Yahweh. But listen to what Hebrews 10:5-7 says about these offerings. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, and in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Paul's making reference to Psalm 40 to say to us that God's gift of Jesus Christ was not required, but as a gift goes further and is greater than any burnt offering or in any other sacrifice that could possibly be made. We really stand at the precipice of an important journey. I think we have a good start already, but there's opportunity, and it's important to make sure everybody knows that everyone who attends our church is responsible for hospitality. Because the stranger that came in and sat by you this morning doesn't know that it's your first time here too. And if it's not your first time, don't act like it's your first time. Our community has many people in it that have been told that because of their sin they are no longer good enough. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we know we need to tell those who have become disinherited from other faith traditions that we know that here in this church, God's table has more than enough room for all of us to receive His grace. More than anything, I want us to come out of this 5 weeks and after Easter to set aside a day to take some time to have a dialogue about the mission and the vision about where God is leading us. This is for everyone to be involved in and hear as many views and ideas as we can capture. Prayer will help. And asking God and seeking God's will is the only way we will be what God wants us to be. Solani United Methodist Church is the church that helps people. But where is God leading us to a more radical, more love-filled hospitality? May the Shema of God go out before us and lead us in the way that He will have us to go. Let's do it for the glory and honor and praise of the name above all names, Jesus. And it's in this name, the name of Jesus, we say, Amen.